you're not around people much, who one day you see someone and they look like, you know, they've aged 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, that's always amazed me about Brother and Sister Garland. They're the only two that they're the same as they was 35 years ago. they're still laughing and smiling and so on and so forth. And that's the way they was about, I guess, when I first met them about 35 years ago, something like that. We appreciate them, and I know that they're like all of the rest of us. They one day they feel good, and next day they don't. And the older I get, more prevalent that is. But I'm thankful that the Lord's let us come this evening. And so for the next little while, we want to think upon the thought of think upon the thought of how precious Christ is. And I'm sure this evening that all of us have thought of Him in that way. In the days that we're now living, it seems that there's so many things that are going on today that folks seemingly are losing that thought of how precious Christ is. And the reason for that is today is how busy folks are. And when I grew up, and there was virtually no jobs. I mean, you might get a little work here, there, and yonder, and that's all it was. I mean, there was no more. You didn't have to look for any because you knew that there was no more. That was just the way it was. And down through the years, God has blessed this country so much. So much. That we often think that even church people are unthankful. Simply because they forget to look back to the time that they were without the glorious gospel in their bosom. So this evening, for just a little while, we want to sort of remind us all of how precious Jesus Christ is to us. So if you have your Bible this evening, for the next little while, turn to the first epistle of Peter, the second chapter, and we'll begin to read where in we find Peter is exhorting some folks that were once out of the sheepfold of God. They were a dispersed bunch, and they had been dispersed into different places and so on and so forth. But at this time, we find that Peter is gathering these folks all back in to God's church, to his fold. And we find that Peter uses some words to remind them of where they once were and where they are at the present. He's exhorting these folks. And he's saying unto them, well, let's just read. It says there in the second chapter, it says, first verse, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. You know, that would be a great statement to a Jew of that day. A Jew of that day had all kinds of malice simply because of the way, the religious way that they had been brought up. And so they wanted very little to do with anyone else. So that is a great statement in itself. And he said, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach this morning, this evening, unto the throne of grace, Father, we would ask you this evening to indwell us that have come this way with thy Holy Spirit. Father, make us capable this evening of hearing what the Word has to say. Father, help us and give us an understanding, God, that we may be the people in these days in which we live. Father, would ask you to be with each object. God, when thy will has been done, surely we as your people will still be able to look up and proclaim unto a lost and dying world that thy grace is sufficient. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. In this little epistle, we find that Peter used the word precious 5 times. In 2 Peter, he used it 2 times. So we think upon this little letter that Peter has written unto these folks in the way of encouragement to stir their hearts and stir their minds that they may not forget where they came from. I think that's one of the things today that is hindering many people in their relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Either young or old, it makes no difference anymore. That relationship, it seems today, has come to the place of lukewarmness. And you all know, in the letters to the churches in Revelation, what he said unto the lukewarm church. That's one thing that God despises, I believe, with all of my heart, is lukewarmness. In fact, he said that he would rather have them hot or cold, one or the other. No in between. No straddling the fence. So I think what Peter is trying to remind these folks of in this day is where they once were and where they were at receiving this letter. I believe that's what Peter is saying unto them here in verse number 1, where he's saying, wherefore, laying aside all malice. In other words, what he's saying unto these folks is that he's saying unto them to lay those things aside that would hinder your journey. He's saying unto those folks there to lay aside that sin which so easily would beset their journey. And you know, today, we as God's people still have a problem with that little three-letter word of sin. We in these days, I think it was the Apostle Paul, he said that that he died out daily because Paul didn't want to lay down and go to sleep with sin in his life. So therefore, he died out to the rudiments of this old world. Boy, what an example that would be for our churches today. Instead of just going to and fro, going to prayer meeting, going to Sunday school, and going to the morning worship hour, and just getting up and going home and forgetting where we've been. I think Peter often looked back at his life and, boy, you'd have to admit, Peter had it pretty rough as a man. I mean, Peter was just, he was everybody's man. He was I couldn't grasp this thing. Yet, he saw the Lord do mighty works continually. And perhaps, maybe Peter was the boldest one of them all. I don't know. I was thinking about that this afternoon, and I thought about James, when he was beheaded, or Stephen, or some of those. And I guess I still come to the conclusion that
Peter was the man. The man of the hour. It seemed like that whatever was going on, Peter was in the midst of it, and he was just simply being a follower. Oftentimes, you'd have to admit that Peter was too much of a man. In other words, he let the flesh rule. Are we not like that? Peter was, no doubt, he had a heart of gold for the Lord. He had a heart of gold for the work of the Lord. And he, I believe, he tried to accomplish that. And we can see here in these two little epistles, when we first met Peter as a fisherman, and sometime just before he died, how much difference there was in Peter's life. Can tell by the way that he penned these epistles and the words that he used to encourage folks in those days to keep up the good fight for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says unto them, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, all of those things that would hinder. He's just simply saying to lay them aside. And then as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'll tell you what. We had last week, we had we had a revival at Mountaindale. A month ago, our pastor, he came on Wednesday night and he taught from John 10. Then last one night during revival, the evangelist, he preached on the sheepfold. And I would have to say that when I put the lessons from John 10 on the sheepfold and what the evangelist preached, when I put those two, they was food for my soul. I'll tell you what. God can supply His people some manna in these days in which we're living, if they'll only seek that. Then he says in verse number 3, it says, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When I think about who I was and what I was before I was saved, and I'm sure I've probably said this here before, sometime or another, I was 23 years old when I was saved. And if there was ever, ever a young man that needed to be saved, it was this boy here. I don't have to look at anybody else. I know the feeling of despair. I know the feeling of being an outcast. I know the feeling of being worthless in the sight of God. I know those things. Those things are deep in my bosom. I remember them. I know I was lost. But then on the other hand, I don't worry about them anymore. Simply because of what God did through a man just like us men that are gathered here tonight. He come by the little church with just a simple little message and preached, you must become as a child. Not that I was to shrink or anything like that, but in faith believing. I remember that. Not only that, but I remember that he was a missionary from India. He was an Indian. I remember that. And that's been 50-some years ago. And he preached. And as a no-hardened sinner, I sat back in the back of the church and I said, get them, preacher. They need it. That was my thinking. I said, get them, preacher. They need it. But then, a few minutes later, I don't know just exactly how long, but I know that when he closed out the service, he came down out of the pulpit and he stood in the front. And he started talking about his Savior and what he could do for lost mankind. God worked a work in my heart there in the back pew of that little church that night. And I got up and I simply walked down front and bowed at an old altar and confessed my sin and asked him to come into my life. And he did. And I think maybe sometimes we need to refresh ourselves with the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. I think there's times that we need to just simply get up from the church pew or maybe from the couch, turn the TV off, and simply just get down on our knees and say, God, I come before you this evening as a sinner. I need to be cleaned up. There's something about desiring the sincere milk of the Word. No question this evening. There's probably folks in here that could explain from Genesis to Revelation. Here. But what about here? God looks on the heart. God is looking for some folks. Thinks he's precious to him. He's looking for some folks that'll ask him for his help in their daily life. Wherever they go, whatever they do, ask him for his help. And I think here in this epistle, that's what the Apostle Peter is saying unto these folks. He's saying unto them, wherefore, lay those things aside that'll so easily beset you and make you lose the joy. Folks today, they've got this thing all mixed up in their head. Some way, somehow, they think that when you go to the house of God, yeah, you're supposed to be jumping up, down, and hollering, and hooping, and doing, jumping over pews, and all of those things. Friend, that's not joy. I'll give you an instance of joy. You remember when Paul and Silas was put in jail, and they was down there in that jail, down in that dungeon. There was no help for them whatsoever. And at 12 o'clock that night, somewhere around there, them old boys started to sing. That was the joy. That was the joy that they had in their soul. And it started coming out in song. That's joy. Over in, I believe it's in Nehemiah, it says that your joy is your strength. Them old boys, they had some strength when they was bound there in that prison that night. And it's a shame today that so many people today get so bound up in the things of this world that they can't sing a song unto the Lord. Well, verse number 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. There's something about being God's person. And every one of us that have been born again, birthed into the family of God, let me remind you once again this evening, you belong to God. You've been bought with a price. There's no getting around it. You may say, well, preacher, you don't have to be so harsh. I guess not. I guess not. But you still won't be able to get out of or get away from what God's Word says. whether the deliverance of a preacher is harsh or whether it's soft and gentle. Verse number 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I mean, God is looking for the sheepfold to offer up something through Jesus Christ. He's looking for that. He's yearning for that. Consider how much God loved mankind. Just consider that for a moment in your heart. God sent His only begotten Son into this old sinful world. I haven't lived in Boone all of my life, but I know what I've seen in the last 35 years. And you just think, God sent His Son into a pitiful place like that, where there's sin on every hand. We was coming up from towards Wilkesboro one night. I guess it was last fall, Sometime last fall or in early spring, somewhere in there. And we was coming through on King Street, and it was about, 10 o'clock, something like that. Anyway, we got up to about where the Methodist Church is in there somewhere. And the lighting had changed. And that looked down through there, that looked like just you were driving into a dungeon. You may love Boone, I don't know. But I'm just telling you what I seen that night as we come down through there and we look down through there, and it looked just as black and dark and with little lights along the outer part of what you could see. Scary. Scary. And yet, God sent His Son into this old world to save sinners that dwell in places like that. To free them from, get them out of it. And then, when he does, it seems that they forget of how merciful God was unto them. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. In other words, he that has escaped that old sinful life, he's not going to be confounded. He's not going to be overcome by those rudiments. You know why? It's because that the moment that sinner knelt somewhere and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, that Holy Ghost of God entered that heart and took up its abode, not just for a little while, but until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why he's not going to be confounded. Verse number 7, he said, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Don't forget that. In your journeyings up and down the highways and the byways, don't forget how precious the precious Lamb of God is unto you personally. He is the most precious thing that you'll ever have in your life. He is the most precious friend that you will ever come across. He's always there. He's always there with an outstretched hand asking you to come unto Him. Maybe you feel like that you've just went as far as you could. You've towed and you worked and you run and did all of those things. The precious Lamb of God. He'll come up nigh unto you. And say, "Come. Come. If you've been out laboring and you're heavy laden, come and I'll give you rest." I'd say, "Oh, Peter, even though he was one of the 12 apostles, found himself in that predicament from time to time. I found it so in my life to get out somewhere. At church somewhere, and just simply say, 'Lord, I need your help. I've went just as far as I can go. There's no friend like the lowly Jesus.'" And I believe that's what the Apostle Peter was trying to convey unto those folks. Back in the book of Hebrews, we find the writer says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." That's who our best friend is. That's who he is. He's our counselor. He's our priest. And best friend. Folks, I say unto you this evening, the road may get rough. It may get bumpy. But we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's ever present, and he's always willing to help. I'll ask Brother Dale and the pianist to come.